you have the mammogram and they say, come back in, we need to do it again. So when they first tell you to come back, you're like annoyed that they screwed up the test and you have to go back and do it again. No, there actually is something. We need to do a sonogram. We want to do a biopsy. And that's when you start to think, okay, something's up. And then I never did get a phone call. I went into the website where you can look at your test results and didn't find any test results, but did find a whole raft of appointments with people in oncology. And I remember doing the screen capture and emailing it to you and saying, I'm guessing this isn't good news. I probably talked to you more about it than anybody else in terms of what was happening to me. And I knew that you were listening because we would go into an appointment and you would have a list of things to ask the doctor about. And I would have forgotten four or five of them.
Yes, that notebook is still in my purse.
Oh my gosh.
My lists. The most difficult thing for me was knowing that you'd punch me in the throat if I cried during an appointment. But because of the way the chairs are positioned with the doctor's chair, I knew where I could sit that even if I did tear up, you wouldn't see me, so it didn't matter. And then I could stretch my eyeballs and get rid of the tears before you ever turned around.
That was... you're very, very smart, girl.
How do you look at your life since your diagnosis?
I'm tougher than I thought I was. I was determined to maintain as much of my schedule as I could because there was going to be life after this. According to the diagnosis, it was the most common run-of-the-mill kind of breast cancer you can get.
What have you learned since being diagnosed with cancer?
People have a really hard time with it. People in your life don't know what to say. They don't know what to ask. They don't know what to do.
How did the relationship with your husband change? Did it add stress to the whole treatment because he wanted you to behave a different way than you were behaving?
That whole thing cracks me up because he felt I should be, you know, taking it much more easy than I was. Yet I don't recall him doing a load of laundry. And the weekend that he did plan and cook several meals, I thought I would kill him. At the end of the weekend when he said, wow, that was a lot of work. Really? I had no idea that it was a lot of work to plan meals and buy all the groceries. I'm shocked.
The thing that stood out to me the most was how many times a nurse or doctor came in the room and said, I can hear you two laughing all the way down the hallway. And we don't hear that very much up here.
Yes.
Because of your hair, it looks like you've been through treatment.
Right.
So have you been surprised by the people that have just approached you?
I've had complete strangers come up to me and say, I'm a sister. You'll be fine. I promise you'll be fine. Unsolicited, out of the blue. But they know. They can tell from looking at you what has happened.
I was caught off guard by it because I thought to myself, oh my God, now she looks like a cancer patient to people.
But you do.
Yeah.
Like, what's been the hardest part for you?
The day you called me to shave your head, because I knew that your hair going was going to really be the tipping point. And yeah, then it's no more keeping it secret or anything else. How do you want to be remembered?
I want people to remember me for having done good work. I want people to remember my sense of humor. They're going to have to think back to remember my hair and my lovely blonde curls, because those are gone. Do you think cancer has changed our relationship? And if so, how?
We reversed roles. I sort of took the lead and said, this is what we're doing. And I was the strong one and I kept it together. And you did too, really, the whole time. We've gotten closer and there's more stuff to laugh about and it's more fun to plan.
I know it would have been a lot more difficult had you not been there.
I'm glad I was there.